So it's infesting the world. It's living among us, and frankly, it's nothing new. It's everywhere. Everybody has it. Even everybody in this school has it. Science has tried to cure it, and sometimes it can, you know, be died down a little bit, but it doesn't take away all of the sting, and it never will. You can see it in people, and you can personally feel it. Stress. It's everywhere. Every single one of us has it, and a lot of us have it quite frequently, especially, you know, us here at Bear Valley, we definitely know what stress feels like. And this thing called stress gives us, a lot of times, stomach aches. It makes us tired. Sometimes it even gives us sleepless nights. It's just, it's not fun, but we've all experienced it. We all know what it feels like. If you would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. For the remainder of this lesson, we're going to be looking at that. That was Matthew chapter 6. In verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So we're going to be looking at this thing called stress. And I know in this passage, it says, uses the word worry a lot. And that is a very good term for it. But I think far too often we take the word worry and we say, I shouldn't worry about just, you know, the necessary things like food or clothing, kind of like what it says here. But then stress is a completely different thing. Now, as we're going to be looking in this passage, we're going to realize that worry and stress are the same thing, and that stress is a decreasing thing. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by stress is decreasing? Well, number one, we're going to look at stress decreases your time. In verse 27, it says, "Who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life?" So, first off, stress does not add anything good. It only takes things. And there's two things that we're going to quickly look at that apply to time. Stress takes productivity and adds work. So, first off, well, we've all, you know, experienced the dreaded moving somebody out of a moving van into the top flight of an apartment building. It's terrible. I hate it. But we still do it. We have to endure it quite often. Say, while, you know, everybody else is moving the furniture up, the person comes up to you and says, "Hey, I want you to move," it's give or take about 100 boxes, out of the back of the truck and move it upstairs. "Can you do that for me?" You're like, "Okay, sure." I mean, it's not too fun, but you know what? You're there. And so there's plenty of boxes. Some of the boxes are light. Some of the boxes are pretty heavy because they've got books in them or something. So you come up with a plan to move those boxes up. You're going to grab some stones about this big. You're going to go up to the box and you're going to set them in there, probably about two or three in each box. And then you'll carry them up there. I mean, it seems only logical, right? No, that's stupid. That just doesn't make sense. Because first off, if you think about it, the rocks, gathering all those rocks would take time out of when you could be working. Also, gathering all those rocks and putting them in the boxes will make you tired. And then after doing that, you've still got all the work that you have to do, but you're tired, you've lost time, and you still have to carry even heavier boxes up the stairs. Now, that just seems, frankly, dumb, but if you think about it, stress is the same thing. But stress, everybody endures it, and we always have it, and so it doesn't seem as ridiculous. Say, with us as at school, we've got a paper to do, and we keep thinking about it, and we're worrying about it, and it takes time. It takes time away from when we could be working on that paper. And also, while we're doing that, we're getting tired because we're weighing ourselves down with that stress. And then, so we've lost time, we're tired, and we've still got the exact same amount of work to do in less time. It just doesn't make sense. It takes time, and it takes productivity, and it adds work. But also, stress takes joy and adds fear. So, when we've got a very difficult paper or assignment due, oftentimes stressing out about it will make it to where we don't realize what good it's going to do for us. All of these papers that we have or these assignments are given to us to help us grow, to help us be better ministers of God's word. And if we're stressing out about that, we can't find the joy in it. But also, like we said, it takes away our time. And so by stressing out, we can't hang out with the people that we're going to be with for 2 years, just a small 2 years. And we can't find the joy in being with one another. It takes joy and adds fear. Stress does not add anything good. It only takes the good. So first, stress decreases your time. But secondly, stress decreases yourself. Verse 26 of Matthew chapter 6 says, "Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" So God is talking about birds, and God takes care of these birds, and yet he says that we're worth more than the birds. So I want to do a little quick little topical study on birds for a second. I mean, I'm a St. Louis Cardinals fan. I like birds, and it seems like God does too. It's one of his creation. He brings up birds a lot. So in Job chapter 35, verse 11, it says, "Who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth, and who makes us wiser than the birds of the heavens?" And in Job chapter 38, verse 41, it says, "Who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God and wander about without food?" So God cares for his creation, these birds. And yet, there's other instances where we see birds a lot in the Old Testament even. What are birds used for? For food for humans. For God's creation. God has given birds to eat for man. In Exodus chapter 16, verses 12 through 13, God gives his people quail to eat. But also, as we see a lot in like Leviticus or other Old Testament books, God has given to man birds for sacrifice. So this creation that God loves and God cares for, he still gives to man that he can slaughter that bird and it can cleanse him of his sins. And also another thing that we see about birds is they were merely spoken into existence. Now, hold on to that thought, but think about that. Birds were merely spoken into existence. And then let's look at verses 28 through 30 of Matthew chapter 6. It says, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you?" So let's quickly talk about lilies and grass. It's beautiful. And like, if you look at it in the springtime, gorgeous. And yet, those two were just merely spoken into existence, which is all good. It's God's creation, and he loves his creation. But what was the one thing that was not just spoken into existence? Us. We were made in God's image. When God created man, he breathed the breath of life into man and gave man a more personal relationship with him. So God loves us above all his creation. God has a much more personal relationship with us. And as we've looked at in Matthew chapter 6, If you worry about, well, let's look at the example. Food, clothing, the bare necessities to life. If you worry about that, and it decreases you to lower than birds and grass, how low are you decreasing yourself if you worry about something like an assignment? Stress decreases your time, and it decreases yourself. But number three, stress decreases your faith. Looking again at verse 30, it says, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith." This is the first time that this term, "you of little faith," occurs in the book of Matthew. And it occurs five times throughout the book of Matthew. In chapter 8, verse 26, look at that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you men of a little faith?'" And also in chapter 14, verse 31. It reads, "Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why do you doubt?'" Chapter 16, verse 8 says, "But Jesus, aware of this, said, 'You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread?'" And the fifth time, in chapter 17, verse 20, "And he said to them, 'Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.'" So every time this occurs, his disciples are forgetting who's with them. Whether it's they're worried about their safety and they're forgetting that they've got God on earth with them, or maybe they're trying to discuss who's better among themselves, but they're forgetting that they've got God with them in the flesh, and they have little faith. They're forgetting who is on their side. Now, I want to quickly examine a bit more Matthew 17, verse 20, when it talks about how faith the size of a mustard seed could move a mountain. Now, we don't really have any examples of how faith could move a mountain. What examples do we have of faith? Faith parted seas. Faith crushed walls. Faith brought victory to a little boy against a giant. Faith caused a man who was a prisoner in Egypt to go to second in command of Egypt. Faith caused a man, for a time, to be able to walk on water. Faith caused blind men to see. Faith is trusting in God and realizing that he has all power. And through faith, God can do amazing things. Amen. God is the one who has all power. He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Messiah. He's the God on high. He's the Christ that saved us. Through him, we can do amazing things. And now if you take all of those examples that we see in the Bible, and then let's move to the year 2017. We've got an assignment to do, or something else is going wrong. But say, well, let's put it in the context of an assignment. We're sitting at a desk. You think about all that God has done for his people. Can't he help you with this? A little paper? And I'm not saying that faith is going to cause you to get an A+ in the next assignment. That's not what I'm saying. But if you have faith in God, can't you take what's most valuable out of that assignment and apply it to your life, to your ministry, and help grow others through that work and through the faith of God? You see, stress is decreasing. Stress decreases your faith. But if stress is the opposite of faith, and if stress decreases, if you have faith, won't you increase? The opposite of decreasing is increasing, and a lack of stress can build us up. It can make us better. It can make us stronger with God. God has commanded this, that we should not stress, for a reason. He knows that stress does us no good, but faith will make us better. It'll make us happier. It'll make us stronger in Him. Stressing out about stuff does us no good. It's worthless. But if we put faith in the Almighty One, in God, then we won't decrease, but in fact will increase. Thank you.